I believe that theology works like a mountain range. When you take a vacation, you go to a foreign country, you ever been to Switzerland? This is what comes to mind for me. Some of the most beautiful countryside I've ever seen in my life was in Switzerland. And you behold this mountain scene. The white and blue, beautiful sky that God has made, these amazing mountains, and oftentimes snow-capped, beautiful white and brown and green. And it transitions down, and you may have the beautiful green grass and wonderful clear water and amazingly beautiful scenery. And when you sit there and look at that, it affects you. It gets inside you. It changes you. People go for these things. Why is it that when I was in California just 2 or 3 months ago, my Florida, well, Puerto Rican born, Florida raised, beautiful wife of almost 19 years, had a bucket list item to see a West Coast sunset? She'd seen sunrises from where she's from, never seen a sunset from the United States. Why did we sit and or stand on that beach with our children and look west at the beauty of a sunset? Why do people go for these things? Why do you look? Well, it has a way of affecting you. So be a good student. Listen to what they're teaching you and study it. Consider it. Discuss it amongst yourselves. Ask questions if necessary. Seek wisdom and you'll find it. Ask, it'll be given. Knock, it'll be opened. So, having the Holy Spirit means being a child of God. Can't be a child of God without being born again, because you're not a child when you come into this world from your first birth. You're not a child of God. Here's some more of that theology for you. It begins to shape in your mind the biblical doctrine of adoption. You were not born of your mother and father. My mother and father's names were Jack and Carol. They did not birth me into the family of God. They birthed me into the family of fallen Adam, of which they were members. When God became my father, that was through baptism into the Holy Spirit. That is being born again, immersed into Christ himself, united with the triune God through what we call regeneration, the new birth. That new birth, my now having eternal life, can't have a new birth without having eternal life, otherwise it's not eternal and it's not the life that he came to give. But if you are born again, then that is the way. If you were in a pitch black room with a Bible, you can't read it. It could be right open in front of you. You cannot make out the words on the page. Being born again is the light being turned on in the dark room. Pitch black, 100 watt bulb gets turned on. That's being born again. And only by that faculty, if you will, only by that nature, that regeneration, that resurrection from spiritual death, that new creature coming to be, that resurrection, that all of that, you know, coming, recreation, resurrection, new birth, by that same thing, the light is turned on and you can now read and savingly understand the Bible. And we say savingly understand because people can understand the Bible as it is just written language. If you can read it, you can understand it. That doesn't mean they can savingly believe it. Okay? Salvation's a gift. It doesn't come through intellect or study. It comes through a gift. Period. So having God means you can understand the Word. And when you do, when you study just anything in Scripture, when you make a practice of understanding the priesthood in Leviticus, the ordinances given to the Mosaic priesthood, to the Aaronic priesthood under the law, you will have shaped in your mind and heart, same thing in Christ in many ways, you will have shaped in your mind and thus in your heart some understanding that will aid you in scripture elsewhere in your life. It's so important. You'll have that. You'll have that blessing and that ability to ponder those words and savingly enjoy God. So get good theology. Study it. It's not emotion. It doesn't come through emotion. It comes through study, pondering, meditating, chewing on the words of Christ, which, whether you're looking at red letter editions of the Bible or not, I'm not a big fan of red letter editions, everything on the pages of that book are the words of Christ. If you don't believe that, you have a very shaky foundation for your faith. Okay? The Bible is that kind of trustworthy source. And that, understanding that, makes everything else footnotes. Once you understand and the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit through that book, the Bible's 66 books, when He bears witness with your hearts through that book, you will perceive what I'm saying even beyond the brain, with the heart. And your brain will learn and be trained to bear its witness. And let me leave you with this, because I'm almost to my destination. Let me leave you with this. In the Mosaic Law, there is a principle when it comes to accusation, criminality, or some sort of wrongdoing even. Two or three witnesses. Two or three witnesses are to be brought in to bear witness to some, again, misbehavior or criminal activity. Could be the both. It could be the same, but some things are lesser, some things are more severe. And if you do that, everything will be established. The level that two or three would be corrupted is far lower than one. You see this in the New Covenant when it comes to judgment. And when believers deal with one another and each other's sins, and we're judging one another, as we're commanded to do, we will go to them at the lowest level if they sin and attempt to reconcile, even leaving our gift at the altar if necessary, and going and being reconciled first if we know we need to, and then coming back. But we'll seek to reconcile one to one. If that doesn't work, we bring it before someone else. We get the two or three other witnesses and we judge this brother or sister. And then if that doesn't work, Jesus says, go before the whole church and judge them. And if that doesn't work, let them be treated like a complete non-believer. You have to put them out of the church. For where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of them. This is about judgment. So we see the same principle. But I want you to get this in your theology today, because I see it in the words of Jesus all the time. But it came crashing home to me this week what a blessing this is to understand. And only as a Christian can I understand this, only with having a right theology about God. So God is a triune being, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one in essence. Everything that makes God God is equally shared by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and only by the three. But yet those three are not triplex. You cannot divide them. They are inseparable in their essence, in the sense that the Son of God cannot be one-third God or one-third of God. And the Father and the Holy Spirit similarly cannot be each one-third of God. It's not possible. You can't divide them like that. So this is the doctrine of the Trinity, right? And this is Christian theology from the start. We seek language to express this. Can't make it simple, but we need to affirm every facet of Trinitarian monotheism so that we can understand who God is. And you don't understand who God is unless you're a Trinitarian monotheist. You don't get it. You're a heretic, in fact. So this subject is key to what I want to say in theology that's blessed me this week. Theology proper, we call this. Understanding who God is in His non-relatable attributes. Intrinsically, God is a triune being. beyond even being our creator and redeemer and savior and, you know, all of those wonderful things, he behind all of that is who he is, right? And he's a triune being. He is unique in that. He is holy. He's unlike you and me. But the three persons of the Godhead have always existed and have always thus been eternally God, and they alone. But yet they are one God. But all through the language of the New Covenant, you have Jesus saying things like, the Father has sent me. And thus we have in John 16 the similar attestation that they will send the Holy Spirit. And so just as the Father and the Son are equal, we know that the Son and the Spirit and the Father are equal. Read John 16. So I'm sent in my authority or in my Father's authority, Jesus says over and over and over in many different ways. And he says in John 16 and in other places that the Holy Spirit, who is God, not a junior member of God, would come and not speak on his own authority. He'll take what's mine, reveal it to you, all those wonderful triune doctrinal things with our experiential Trinitarian apostles. Knew the Father, walked with the Son, and dwelt by the Holy Spirit, and speaking not on own private interpretation. So this triune theology is important to this point, that even though they're inseparable, it was the Son who took on flesh. See, if you divide God, you can't divide God. So God is an infinite being. And if you think about a number line, if you divide a number line into three equal parts, you have three infinities. That number line, therefore, cannot be divided. Theoretically, it cannot be. And these are just abstract laws of creation that we understand. God is reflected by this in his creation, that infinity is indivisible. And this is how God is in America and in China right now, 100%, the triune God. So when this is the point, when Jesus said, two or three witnesses will establish everything, do you not understand that that is the words on the page of your Bible that the triune God is borne witness to? This is very exciting to me. This is the theology I want you to get. The Son has two witnesses, the Father and the Holy Spirit. And they bear witness to him. It is the Spirit speaking through all the prophets. It is the Father we hear speaking from heaven several times during the incarnation of the Son while he was on earth. The Son alone takes on flesh. That flesh is now glorified, added to his eternal, indivisible, triune deity. Yes, mystery. Wow. Not just in the sense of what's fully revealed, but, you can't wrap your arms around it. It's in many ways beyond us, and we simply have to affirm the various facets of the theology to keep the boat going down the river and not derailing on one side of error or another. God does this, shapes this, helps this in many ways. So, this is our theology as Trinitarian monotheists, but we have three, not just one, three that have borne witness. Borne witness to what? The work of Christ in the incarnation, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension and coronation, and that he is waiting until all his enemies be made a footstool for his feet right up to the second coming, when that will be completed and Satan fully crushed, all of that. Folks, you have three witnesses to every letter, every jot and every tittle, from the end of Genesis 1:1 to the amen of Revelation, the last chapter and verse. You have in amen, you have every word borne witness to, not by one, not by two, but by three. And out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, everything will be established. This blessed me this week. As a Christian, I understand how this is possible in my God. That he has done this, and it's reflected in the Mosaic Law, and it's reflected in the Gospels. And you see this attestation that truth is borne witness to, always imperfectly by men, but perfectly by God in it all, and that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit have borne witness to the truth. All of it. All of it. Everything the Bible covers. And I hope that this helps shape something in your heart today that makes you trust the Word of God. It has never failed you. You have failed you. And if that's the case, I love you. God bless you. Repent. The Word never fails. It can't. It's His. and He cannot fail. So I hope this helps shape something in your heart and in your mind today to help you rejoice and trust in God's word given and preserved to His church. God bless.